the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, March 18, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Acting Chief of Staff Mulvaney says President Trump is not a white supremacist. Also on the rundown, records show that Connecticut has been helping ICE agents. Plus, would year-round ethanol be a boost for farmers? Topping our news, the acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney said Sunday there is no link between President Trump and the New Zealand shooter, a white supremacist who spouted anti-immigrant rhetoric. The New York Post reports that Mulvaney's comments come during a discussion on Fox News Sunday about the 74-page manifesto that called Trump a symbol of renewed white identity and common purpose. Mulvaney said the attack that killed 50 people was a terrible, evil, tragic act carried out by a disturbed individual. Anti-pipeline protest legislation opponents say could chill free speech in South Dakota is on its way to the governor's desk for a signature.
The legislation was introduced by Noem days before the session ended, and while many tribal members who opposed the bills were across the country on other business, Senate Bill 189 establishes civil penalties for riot boosting or contributing money to or encouraging violent pipeline protesters. Libby Screen with the ACLU of South Dakota believes the rushed legislation goes further to stifle free speech than just pipeline construction.
The way this bill is written, it is clear that it will be able to be used to wrap up people who are merely speaking, who are using their First Amendment rights to speak up and protest pipelines or whatever else might happen in the future. So this is not going to be solely related to pipelines.
A second bill creates a funding source for the state to recoup any extraordinary costs, such as the millions faced by North Dakota after hundreds were arrested during protests of the Keystone XL pipeline. I'm Roz Brown.
Meantime, AARP has launched a federal and state-level campaign that would stop drug companies from price gouging.
Sam Shumway with the group's Wyoming chapter says the cost of health insurance in Wyoming ranks in the top five nationally, largely a result of rising drug prices. The average Medicare beneficiary has a median income of $26,000, but Shumway says people with chronic conditions are paying more than $13,000 a year out of pocket for medicine.
There are people who are making these tough decisions, whether to buy food or whether to pay for their prescription drugs. And so we're calling on Congress, we're calling on state legislators to take action to get the exorbitant and out of control drug prices under control.
A recent AARP poll found that more than 70% of likely voters age 50 and older are concerned about drug costs, and 90% say Congress should reverse rules banning Medicare from negotiating for lower prices. Drug companies have long argued that high profit margins are necessary for research and development and say those investments have led to significant innovations. I'm Eric Galatis.
That campaign also calls for giving state attorneys general the authority to crack down on large price increases. Recently released records show that 8 law enforcement agencies in Connecticut are helping federal immigration authorities with their surveillance efforts.
The records released by the American Civil Liberties Union show that agencies in Fairfield, Westport, Enfield, Wethersfield, Stratford, Trumbull, Norwalk, and at Southern Connecticut State University are providing location information from license plate readers to Immigration and Customs Enforcement. According to David McGuire, who heads the ACLU of Connecticut, that's a potential violation of the state's 2013 Trust Act, which seeks to protect immigrants by limiting local law enforcement's cooperation with ICE.
What this revelation shows is that people's very sensitive location data is being shared with federal authorities, and that puts a vulnerable population in the crosshairs of ICE unnecessarily in our mind.
Officials in Norwalk say there is no agreement with ICE, and it appears that ICE has been accessing a cloud-based law enforcement database used by the Norwalk Police Department. McGuire points out that license plate reading technology is spreading rapidly, and Connecticut is considering using license plate readers to collect tolls. That means drivers' precise locations may be monitored dozens of times a day.
The data creates a very, very detailed digital dossier on every driver in Connecticut, and now we know driving locations and histories are being shared with ICE, and that is very, very problematic.
I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And finally, Eric Teganoff tells us farmers see a fresh crop on the rise with the federal government's proposal to allow ethanol-blended gasoline to be sold year-round.
The Environmental Protection Agency is proposing a rule change that would lift the summertime prohibition on use of E15, or gasoline blended with 15% ethanol. The ban was put in place because of concerns that the blends contribute to smog. But Mark Watney, president of the North Dakota Farmers Union, says those findings are out of date and restrict biofuels. He says this proposal would be good for farmers.
This would create more demand and it would convert more corn into ethanol, maybe help the corn prices. And then, of course, if we could even take that further up to E30, we get a much better blend, a lot cleaner emissions, and then that would be a huge demand increase that would really help farmers.
Farmers unions are hoping the rule can be finalized in time for the summer driving season. The ethanol blending ban goes into place on June 1st and lasts through September 15th. Ethanol advocacy group Growth Energy says adopting this rule could increase corn demand by 2 billion bushels. Some conservation groups have raised concerns about increased carbon pollution from agricultural production of biofuels.
Comments on that proposal must be submitted to the EPA by April the 29th. The agency will hold a public meeting on the proposal on March 29th in Michigan. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.